Well, Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Why don't you... You're so quiet today. New Year was a few days ago. We had an amazing New Year. We looked after our grandkids. And while the kids went out, and we had so much fun partying with them. The party finished at 8 o'clock because they were exhausted. So were we. It was wonderful. But I want to welcome you back and see there's visitors here today too. And I want to thank you so much for coming. As we said, if you're looking for a place in Nanaimo to worship, God will show you. God will show you where you need to be. And if it's here, we want to welcome you into the community and see you grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So I was praying about this year. We started a little bit last year speaking about the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And last week, BJ preached an amazing message on that. And I encourage you to go and listen to it. He did an incredible job. And today, I'm going to be continuing looking at Acts chapter 10. But if you want to know the theme for me, for the church this year, is simply this: 2016, the year of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'd love you to write that down, because I want you to meditate on it. I want you to go and search the scriptures yourself to be Bereans. Is this too loud? Yeah, it's very loud. To search the scriptures for yourself, to see what it means to not only know Jesus as our Savior, who came and died for our sins, but Jesus as our Lord. And we're going to speak a lot about that. I love the fact that we are going to do a series on the Holy Spirit, because in John 16, Jesus says this, that the role of the Holy Spirit, one of the main roles, if not the primary role of the Holy Spirit on earth, is to bring glory to Jesus. And that's what we're going to focus on, even as we preach on the Holy Spirit. We've been going through Acts chapter 10, and we've looked at verse 34 to 37, and this is the fourth preach out of those four verses. It's just an amazing passage. It's a preach that Peter did to a guy by the name of Cornelius and his household. Cornelius was a Roman citizen. He was a centurion, and he lived in Palestine. And the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 10 that he was a devout man. Although he didn't know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, he was a devout man, and he was a very generous man. He looked after the poor, and he would pray. And one day he was praying, he had this vision, and an angel came to him, and he says, and said, Cornelius, I want you to go to Joppa, to a place called Joppa, because there's a man that will tell you all about me. And he sends some of his servants. On his way to Joppa, the apostle Peter is praying on the roof of his house. Obviously, it was a flat roof. And he was praying up there, and he has this vision, and all kinds of animals coming down, and God says to him in this vision, the angel says to him, eat. And being a Jew, obviously, they would not eat anything unclean, such as pork or anything like that. And he says, I can't eat this. And God says, tell me that this is unclean, stuff that I've made clean. And then he tells him to go with the servants that come to Cornelius' household. And the picture that he had was the Jews, even the apostles at that stage, still thought that Jesus had only come to save Israel. But in this vision, Peter realizes that salvation is for all who believe. And he preaches to Cornelius, and Cornelius is radically saved by the power of the Spirit. In fact, it says that whilst Peter was preaching or speaking to his household, the Holy Spirit came down and they began to speak in tongues. This is a crazy chapter. Visions, dreams, angelic visitations, the Holy Spirit coming in power, and the manifestation of that was speaking in tongues. We'll speak about that when we speak about the Holy Spirit. And Peter realizes that they have received God, and he baptizes them. Now, that's all in one chapter, Acts chapter 10. So that's your homework for this week. Go and study that. What amazing passage. But we're going to pick up in Acts 10:34 and do a little bit of a summary on this, and we're going to speak into it. So Acts 10 verse 34, says, then Peter began to speak, and he says, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism. God did not only come for the Jews, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. God is the God of the nations. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whomsoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Jesus came to pay the price for our sins. And all who believe and all who receive him as their Lord and Savior can be saved. Not because of what they've done, but because of what Jesus did on our behalf. We cannot save ourselves. And God sent a Savior, his only Son, to pay the price for our sins. And if you want to know a little bit more about that, because that could be a year's worth of preaching and just on salvation, please come speak to us, one of the leaders or a friend who may have brought you today. He says this, he goes on to verse 36. He says this, that you know the message God sent you, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want to focus on that word peace. The transcendent peace of God. It's a peace, the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7, if we could just have that, that the transcendent peace of God, the peace that transcends our natural understanding, that will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And I tell you, every person is looking for love, and every person is looking for peace. The problem is, we look in all the wrong places. We think we can find it in relationship, and yeah, relationships are amazing, but we look at other places and we can see the journey that many have on has led them into a whole lot of trouble. John 10, verse 10, Jesus speaking to his disciples says, the thief who is the devil comes to rob, kill, and destroy. That's his mission. For every single person that is made in the image of God, he wants to rob their life, he wants to kill them, and he'll destroy them, and he'll use sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and whatever else it is to achieve that. But Jesus said that I came that I might have, that you might have life, and have life to the full, an abundant life. And the problem is, even as Christians, as we're going to look at this thing of Lord and Savior, as what it means to Jesus to be as Lord, we often find that we get saved, but we don't acknowledge his Lordship, and we try and live in two worlds. We're trying to live in the kingdom of God, but we also have got one foot in the kingdom of darkness, in the kingdom of the world. And in that place, as Christians, you will never have peace. You can't have it. In fact, it's better off that you never got saved, the Bible says. Because God says, I wish that you were hot or cold. But if you're lukewarm, if you live in this gray, he says, I will spew you out of my mouth. What a strong statement to make. That's not to scare us away, church. Jesus says, if you're going to go big for me, go big. Go big or go home. And I tell you, that's where God wants us to live. Not because he wants to take stuff away from us, but because he wants to give us an abundant life. Stuff will never give you an abundant life. It's great. We have homes and cars and all this stuff. But it's the peace of God that we need. that transcends our understanding, that guards our minds and our hearts, that is only found in Christ Jesus. And that doesn't mean the absence of conflict. It doesn't mean the absence of suffering. It's in the midst of the trials. In the midst of the trials and the tribulations, you know that you know in your heart, your mind is saying, beep, 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 chaos, sinking, drowning, but your heart is saying, be still. Be still, and you can rest. And I tell you, I've been with people going through incredible trials and tribulations. My own wife has had two transplants, and I've been in that hospital three or four times where they told me she would not come out alive. She's in the Sunday school today, jumping up and down and teaching the Sunday school kids 10 years later. Only God. But in those times, I felt the peace and the presence of God in the midst of the trials as never, ever before. The tangible presence of God. Sitting in ICUs, sitting there for hours, days. And God's presence and His anointing comes down. And you're sitting there and you know that you know that you know that God is there. And God's, that's the peace that God wants to bring us. It's not, oh, I have to give all of the stuff up. God wants you to give it up because it's going to kill you. It's going to destroy your life. But He wants to give you an abundant life. I got saved. I'm off my notes already. Long way off. But I got saved when I was 24. And I can tell you today, if God didn't save me, I don't know where I'd be. Some of my friends that I hang out are no longer alive. And not because of natural causes either. But God rescued me from the dominion of darkness, Corinthians 8 says, and brought me into the kingdom of the Son whom He loves. And I tell you, from that day, I knew nothing about God. 30-something years later, I don't want to give my age away, I am younger than I look. That's all I can say. But I've traveled the world sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been through Asia, Australia, Africa, incredible places, adventures like I could never, ever dreamed of. Has it been hard? Yes. Have we had many trials? Yes. But I tell you, I wouldn't give up one day. And I remember a preacher saying this one day. He said, why don't you give it a try? And when somebody or a leader asks you to do something, say yes. You know, saying no is in Christianese is simply, I'll pray about it. When somebody tells me that, I know they're not going to do it. Just say no. But we begin to try that. We haven't always done that with our lives, Deborah and I, even coming to Canada. God sent us to Canada to plant a church. Never led a church, been in leadership in a church, never lived outside of South Africa. Everybody told us not to do that. Came to Nanaimo. Why Nanaimo? Because we loved the place and we could afford to live here. That was the only reason. Started a church in our home with my wife and my three kids, not knowing one Christian in the city. And this is Oceanside. This is, if God can do it with me, He can do it with you. Now, not all are called to full-time ministry, but wherever God calls you, in your business, in your homes, make Jesus Lord. Put Him first in your life. Say, God, I will try, I will follow. Where You lead, I will go. What I have is Yours, because what You have is mine. What an amazing partnership. I bring my 0% because God needs nothing from me, and He brings His 100%. And He says, I want to partner with you for the rest of your life. I want to give you an abundant life. That's where God wants us to live. And this year, church, I want to see breakout in this church. I want to see people going and laying hands on people, seeing them healed, seeing them set free to the nations. I go to Australia for 6 weeks, but two of those weeks we want to take a team with us. And those dates are going to be out there, and I'd love you all to come along with us. The transcendent peace of God. Jesus said in John 14, "Peace I leave you, my peace, not the world's peace. I do not give you as the world gives. The peace in the world is temporal. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." This is where you know. You ask me how I know Jesus lives? Because he lives within my heart. My heart. Try and speak Canadian, eh? Pretty good at it. He lives in my heart. We go on to the next to the next half of that verse. We're still on verse 37. Let me just 36. We said, you know that the message of God sent to the people of Israel, telling you the good news through Jesus Christ, the good news of peace through Jesus Christ. The end of that, it says, who is Lord of all? Peace and lordship of Jesus Christ in the kingdom go together. When Jesus is Lord, and it's, remember, peace is not access of conflict. Peter who wrote this, Peter who preached this, was crucified for his faith by Nero. How was he able to do that? He had a knowledge of God and a peace with God that transcended everything else. And we see that in the Middle East now. Men and women, pray for them, that are given an opportunity to deny Jesus or be killed. Every single one of them, all they have to do is deny Jesus. And you see them walking out there, and I don't see fear on them. Walking out there like this, kneeling down, and paying with their lives. We think they lost. They actually won. They're in heaven with their Father, their Lord, and their Savior for eternity. They understood that this was a temporal place. And when we make this temporal, finite, or final, we live for ourselves. What can I get? What can I get from Jesus? What can Jesus do for me? What can I get from him? But he is Lord. And we're going to look at that a little bit. You see, if we're true to Scripture, and that's why I want you to study this for yourself, we'll see that Jesus cannot be our Savior without also being our Lord. We can't have one without the other. And when I started reading this and studying this, I thought, God, I've preached on Savior so often and so little on your Lordship. And now we can't have one. We're saved by grace, but we serve a King, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to understand that in our hearts, that they go together. You see, Romans 10:8, and one of the things I found out, just a little one, that the word Savior is used in the New Testament 21 times. And the word Lord, over 500. Savior is the entrance to the kingdom. Savior is the entrance way. When we give our hearts to Jesus, we come as we own, we are born again, we accept him as our Lord and Savior, and we enter into the kingdom. We are not to live in this place. We've left that behind. We enter into the kingdom where we say, thy will, not my will be done. And if you're looking for peace, and if you're looking for those things, that's where you'll find it. I remember being in northern Cambodia near the Laos border with a few crazy guys. And we got so far into it that we really, there was no, obviously, communication with anybody. We had a guide that took us there. But I remember one of the most freeing experiences. We were sitting, we're in this little village, and we were sitting around this fire, and we looked at each other, and we just started laughing because we realized that if something happened to us there, nobody would even know where to start looking. Nobody has even thought about telling anybody. We just heard about this people. We had this guide, and we went there. It was so freeing. It was scary, too. I don't think we slept a wink there, but it was so freeing, and we just laughed and laughed and laughed. I said, God, isn't this amazing? That we can speak to people through an interpreter and let them know that you love them. I tell you, it beats sandals any day. Not that I've been there. You see those adverts? All you want for a week. You see, if we go down to Matthew chapter 6, the disciples ask him a question. Lord, teach us how to pray. How should we pray? And he starts, and we're just going to look at one or two of the verses, verse 9 and 10. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. The disciples who were hanging out with Jesus only knew God as God, this guy up in heaven, that if you messed with him, you got into trouble. Jesus starts revealing God as Father the first time that he speaks as Father God. Our Father. He's your Father. I had a bad father, and I don't want to get into that. I'm totally free from that, but I had no relationship with him. But I have a greater Father. And you do too, if you know Jesus. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Then he says this, the next thing he says that we're to pray after we've given thanks to our Father in heaven for sending his Son so that we could come back in relationship with him. He says, your kingdom come. Your will be done. Now, we all prayed that when I grew up every day at school. When I did, there still was prayer in schools. Your will be done, and your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So what does that mean when we pray that? What it means, because God works by invitation, God never forces himself on us. The Holy Spirit doesn't force his way into our lives. God gave us a free will, and the reason we can choose to love him and serve him or not to is simply because God didn't want to make us robots. He gives us a choice. You can choose to, and you can choose not to. There's consequences for both choices. One is eternity with God, and one is eternity in hell. But you have a choice that you can make, because God loves you so much that he wants you to make a choice and to follow him because you want to, not because you have to. I don't beat my kids and tell them to love me, and when they don't, beat them some more. And then they say, I love you. And I say, hey, my kids love me. Do you love your dad? Silence. Bam. Yeah, I love you. God doesn't treat us like that. God wants us to love him out of gratitude. He's a father. He loves us. And he doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. He wants relationship. So this is not about being perfect, because none of us are perfect. And Jesus came to pay for our sins. So when we sin, we have one who is faithful and just to, when we confess those sins, to cleanse us from all that unrighteousness, and we get on with our life. But sin is not an excuse for the grace of God. Sin is there. When we sin, it's because we need the grace of God that God gives us. And we all sin daily. You see, the kingdom only comes to the extent that God's will is being done in and through our lives. To the extent that God's will is being done in my life, that's how much of the kingdom is in me. And when I'm not fulfilling the will of God, that's not part of his kingdom. And the kingdom, the word of God says, is within me, within my heart. See, the kingdom is not, as some Christians or some people will tell you, come to God, come to Jesus, and he will bless you. He will give you stuff. He will give you money. You will prosper. Now, who is dumb enough not to buy into that? But it's like a snake oil salesman saying, take this and you'll be healed forever. Who doesn't want to be healed forever? But it's not true. Yes, God does bless us. Yes, God does save us. But we have a responsibility of walking that out. And blessing in God's realm is way higher than bucks in my pocket. Blessing in God's realm is eternity with God, that I can have an eternal relationship with God, my Father. That is the ultimate blessing. That is the blessing of God, that he gave his son. And then I say, then he blesses me with stuff, and he blesses us with friends and jobs and all of that stuff. Then sometimes he takes us through the valley of the shadow of death, sometimes through tremendous trials, but his blessing and his love upon our life never ever changes. It is constant. God cannot love you any more than he does. Whether you are serving him or not, he loves you. Because Romans 5 says this, whilst we were still enemies, God demonstrated his love for us by sending his son. How much more now that we are saved? How much more does God love us now? And he wants us to live in this kingdom. He wants to say, your will, God. I'm going to say yes when you call. You see, the kingdom is not a protected sphere where we live insulated, self-absorbed, blessed, prosperous, and to be envied lives, waiting for God to rescue us one day. It's not the kingdom. The truth is this. Where God does not have his way, where his purposes aren't being served, his kingdom has not come. So the question is, are we submitted and in love with Jesus as our Lord as much as we are with Jesus as our Savior? It's both. Now, I'm really praying you all come back next week. I tell you, just aside, there's nothing worse than a Monday morning or a Sunday night for a pastor when you're playing. Oh, God, I pray that I didn't misrepresent you. See, God, I want to bring you into life. I want to bring myself into life. I want us to see God come, his kingdom come on earth. Imagine. His kingdom come. We can pray. If Jesus said we could pray for that, it is possible. It must be. His kingdom come. But it starts in me. It starts in me. Goes on in verse 37. You know what happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism of John? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus was a man, and Jesus was God. God incarnate. And we can speak about that some other time because it's very important. He had a physical address. He came from Nazareth. But he anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. And how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil. So Jesus, the Son of God, the transcendent creator, the creator of the universe, became a man to enable men to become sons of God. It was as a man that he was anointed with power by the Holy Spirit and went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil. And why is this important to us? Why is this important? Because the same Spirit that was in Jesus is now in us. When we are born again, God comes to live in us. The same Spirit and the same anointing that was on Jesus is on us. The difference is Jesus lived in the kingdom. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is for all who believe. In Ephesians 1. In Ephesians 1, Paul talks about this incomparably great power that is for us who believe, not for us who don't believe. And we can be unbelieving believers, believe it or not. Well, that sounds good. Can you write that down for me? We can be unbelieving believers, believe it or not. In John 14:12, this is a promise from Jesus, a God who never lies. He says, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith. People tell me God doesn't work in miracles anymore. God doesn't heal. Well, according to your faith, so be it. It's self-fulfilling. Now, not everybody we pray for gets healed, and God is sovereign, and there's a side of God that we will never know because I'm just a piece of clay trying to tell you what the potter is like. Piece of mud. So don't try and work out God. We have a few pounds of jelly in our head with a few electrodes. And we're trying to work out the creator of the universe. Oh yeah, I know God. He couldn't do that. Really? He can do what he pleases, but it takes faith. Hebrews 11:6. How many of you want to please God? 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because we must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. Only believe. Only believe. And in the times and that we live in as a world, God needs a church full of faith, full of power. A church that understands that they are subject to the King of Glory and that he has commissioned us to go into all the world and make disciples. He's commissioned us in Mark 16 to lay our hands on the sick, to see them recover, to preach the good news of the gospel of the kingdom of God. He wants us to do that. And he wants this year, I'm praying that we'll start seeing God move as he's never moved before in and through our lives. Whoever has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater, imagine doing greater miracles than Jesus, because I'm going to the Father. And it finishes this here. He anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power because God was with him. I'm going to finish on this. So those four preachers, I want to preach each one of these in a series sometime. Because God was with him. And more than anything else, church, we need God with us. Yes, God lives within us. Yes, God anoints us. But are we walking in his presence? Are we listening to his voice? When he says, maybe don't do that, he whispers, that's maybe not a good idea. Or go and pray for that person and say, I'm too busy. Or give into the kingdom. No, it's for me. And we can go on, and we can go on, and we can go on. Where God is speaking. God is saying, whom will go? In Isaiah 6. Whom will go, and whom will I send? Now Isaiah says, Lord, here am I. Send me. That Christ will go out. God sees this world. I can't imagine what I'd be like if God hadn't saved me. I don't know if I'd be alive. I was that stupid. But can you imagine the poor 80,000 people outside there? They might have looked like they've got all the stuff, the most beautiful homes and all the cars, shut up, closed. Can you imagine how many lonely, lost people are in the city looking for love? Looking for somebody to reach out to them. And yes, they might push you away, but they pushed Jesus away too. But the ones that didn't. And God loves the city. And I read the news sometimes and I think, oh my Lord, what is going on? Imagine going through this world as it is without Jesus Christ in your heart, without in your life. Imagine. It's no wonder people are turning to all kinds of things. It's no wonder that they're turning to drugs and alcohol because they feel hopeless and lost. And we have the answer. And in the commission, Jesus said, go to all the world. So we don't have to say, pray to see whether we should go. And the world starts outside these doors. We should be praying, should we stay? Because Jesus already says, go, 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 go. Let people know that I love them and care for them. See, more than anything else, we need God with us, more of his tangible presence in our lives daily. We all have needs, financial needs, relational needs, health needs, and so on. But what we don't realize is we need more of him. More of him in the church. More of him in our lives. That this year we will count for God. Imagine what we could do if 300 people, 400, or on our books we've got 500 people. I don't think we've ever had 500 people in one meeting, but that's what we have. Imagine if each one of us, let's say 300, reached out to one person this year, and they came into the kingdom, this church would be 600 in a year. If 600 the next year reached out to one person, this church would be 1,200. And in 3 years, reaching one person each, using the number of 300, we would have 2,400 believers. 2,400. Now, I want to tell you this to finish. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it's just come to me now, talking about himself and Apollos, who was a co-worker of Christ with him. He says, I planted the seed. Apollos came and watered it, but God's the one that made it grow. So we can't make it grow. We sow seed. Now, what is seed? Love, forgiveness, acceptance. Love people. Seeds of love, not judgment and condemnation. People know that already. You don't have to tell them. They know. They need to know that there's somebody that can help them out of that situation who loves them. And we are his hands and we are his feet. So some of us will go around just loving people, creating an atmosphere in my heart where they say, man, you guys are different. I don't feel judged. I feel loved. And somebody else will come along because you don't feel you can do that and say, let me tell you about this Jesus. Because so many people are scared. What happens if I don't know? Well, people can argue the Bible, they can argue religion, but they cannot argue with a transformed life. And when they say, I want what you got, then it's easy. Just love people. Let your light so shine before men, Jesus said, that they might see your good deeds and glorify the Father in heaven. So what would be a good deed? It doesn't snow here much, but these are true stories in this church. Some of our young guys who were snowing badly decided, and they phoned me for permission. How ridiculous is that? Hey, do you think we can go along shoveling people's driveways? I said, only if you start with mine. No, I didn't say that. They found and noticed after a day or two that some of the driveways weren't shoveled and realized that most of those people were more than likely too old to shovel a driveway. They started doing that. The response was phenomenal. They didn't preach the gospel. They didn't tell them they're dirty, rotten sinners. They shoveled their driveway and said, we come from a church that just wants to bless you. Another friend of mine, this really was in this church, his neighbor, who is an old guy that was constantly complaining about his children playing street hockey and basketball and phoning the city, was driving him crazy. And he had just moved into the house, bought it, and he said, I remember him saying to me, I wish I'd never bought that house. This neighbor is driving me crazy. One day he's driving out. There's a cord of wood unsplit. Was in an older area in this guy's driveway. And this old guy had an axe, and he was trying to split the wood. He couldn't afford to buy split wood. Bill Olson, he now lives in Smithers, God bless him, said, stops his car, gets out, goes into his garage, gets his axe, goes next door, doesn't say a word, just starts splitting logs. Bad attitude. Finishes it. This guy is overwhelmed. Invites him in. Guy tells him, starts after a few coming for coffee, started this little friendship. This guy tells him, I'm so lonely. Tells him his life, a life of brokenness. Relationship formed. Is able to share the gospel with him. Splitting wood. Splitting wood. Sharing a glass of water, Jesus says. Visiting somebody in jail. Going to the hospital and saying, are there any lonely people here that we can hang with? Nursing homes. Old age homes. God's going, what can I do? What can't you do? What can't we do? And when the Holy Spirit has created an atmosphere through our lives where we have credibility with them, they will ask why. And we can share the gospel. Instead of bang, bang, bang on the door, I want to, the guys watching hockey, you stick your foot in the door. When I got saved, street evangelism was huge. I hated it. It was a disaster for me. I know I've got one person, they're rushing off to work and you jump in front of them. Can I tell you, sir, Jesus loves you. And the guy says, go to hell. Start with your colleagues. Single moms with babies. They can't get a break. They're in this church. They would love a couple hours on their own, even if it's just to sit at the lake. What can we do? What can't we do? And I'm just going to finish with this. If I can find it, I just thought of it. Galatians 6 from verse 9. Let us not become weary of doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. The harvest is plentiful, Jesus said, but the laborers are few. Coming to church on a Sunday and listen to me scream at you for an hour and a half, it might be a sacrifice, but it's not what it's all about. It's for us to be empowered, to be challenged. So we go to the harvest and we don't become weary of doing good, baking a cake, doing whatever it is. We can fix a car, seeing an old person that needs a car fix, change a tire, whatever it is, use what's in your hand. When God was speaking to Moses, and he said, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh, and he was scared. He said, what shall I take with me? What do I have? And God says, what's in your hand? What was in his hand? A stick. Threw it on the ground. We know the story. With a stick, God, with the stick in Moses' hands, God delivered a nation. If he can use a stick in the hand of a willing man, what can't he use? Do not come weary of doing good, for at the proper time you'll reap a harvest. Therefore, as we have every opportunity, let us do good to all people, but especially those who belong to the family of believers. How? Thanks. Thanks for putting that up. To all people. But it starts here. Now, how do we know the needs in this place if we don't know who we are? That's why we have connect groups. Connect. God, show me who needs help. What can I do? What is the stick in my hand that I can bless part of the family of believers? And do you know why I believe that's there? It's because I believe it's there because this is a safe place to try it out. It's a safe place. And people come in this door. The amazing thing, there are people in this door that may never have been gone to church before, or if they have, had such a bad experience. But God drew them here today. God didn't draw them here so we could just hang with our buddies. God brought them here so that we could do good to them. Be it a ride home, be it a cup of coffee, whatever it is. And as we do that, we will begin to reap the harvest as we begin doing good and not grown weary of it. So start where you are. If you have a boat, let me know about it. If you have a boat, try taking some guys that have never been fishing. If you go hiking or camping, if you play golf, don't play with four Christians. Invite somebody. Pay for the game. Take him to lunch. Teach him how to fish. Take them for a hike. Love them. Give the moms that need breaks or single dads that need breaks. I tell you, I've got four little busy grandkids. And both my children, thank God, are happily married. But they exhausted. Two of them. How do I know they're exhausted? Because they plant them at our place. And I get exhausted. Imagine the moms. I don't know why I'm focusing on that, except to say that it's so easy to spend 2 or 3 hours of your week. Because when somebody says, I want to go out, but now I've got to pay $15 an hour, and she's a single mom, $45. I don't have to spare $45. That's just for 3 hours. I don't even think about spending 3 hours on my own. If we could bow our heads and the worship team come forward. I pray, really do pray that this challenges us as it's challenged me. The difference between you and I is simply this. I've spent hours thinking about this. As God lays it on my heart and as I begin to read and prepare, it starts with me. I've got to be careful of these fingers pointing back, of the logs. Starts with me. And I'm just praying through the Holy Spirit, you'll just see how easy it is. And that in this community, you will begin to find out and ask and pray. Who needs a friend? What family is struggling? What can we do to help? And you will find that it's way more blessed to give than to receive. There's something about it. And whether it's finances, whether it's love, whatever it is, you can never outgive God. So Holy Spirit, I ask you to seal this word in our hearts. And what is not of you, Lord Jesus, I pray those words will fall to the ground. But Lord, I want this church to be known as lovers of you and lovers of people. That we love you, Lord. That we love your people. And that we love the city. Give us dreams, Lord, and visions. Lord, break the self-absorption that I live in, Lord. Church can be a self-absorption. Studying can be a self-absorption. Break these things, Lord. Open my eyes to see what you put in my hands. And if all it is a stick, Lord, that I'll use it for your kingdom. Say, come, Holy Spirit, come. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to tell you, He loves you so much. I want to tell you, there's nobody in the world that loves you more than He does. That He gave His life for you. If you want to know more about Him, please come speak to me. Speak to your friends. But if you do, and this word has stirred your heart, I just pray that you will respond to your Father in heaven who loves you. I pray that we'll be able to pray with integrity. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. That this is a new year and a new day. We want to see your kingdom come, Lord, in Nanaimo. And your will be done in our lives. Church, if you stand and worship the Lord, if you need to go, please, God bless you. But if you'd like to worship, please join us.